Hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Let's tee off in the southern U.S. city of Augusta, Georgia, where the Spaniard Sergio Garcia has ended nearly two decades of frustration and disappointment at big tournaments by winning his first major golf title. The 37-year-old Garcia won the much-coveted green jacket given to the Masters champion, as well as a first-place prize of $1,980,000. Garcia beat Englishman Justin Rose in a sudden-death playoff after they both completed the 72 holes with scores of 9 under par 279. At the par 4 18th playoff hole, Rose needed 5 shots, while Garcia converted a birdie putt to capture his first career major championship. The Spanish golfer has been described as the best golfer never to win a major, but that description doesn't fit anymore. Meanwhile, one description that fits Justin Rose is a good sport. He's a good friend of Sergio Garcia, and he gave the Spaniard a hug on the course after his victory. For his part, Sergio Garcia had this to say about the tight competition against Rose in the final round.
It was a great battle. He played awesome. I played nicely too. So, you know, it was nice to be able to battle it out with him and throughout the whole day.
The win came in Sergio Garcia's 19th Masters appearance and 74th major championship, the most by any player before their first big title. Sergio talks about his attitude at this 81st Masters tournament.
I mean, I think the problem is because where my head was at sometimes, I did think about, am I ever going to win one? You know, I've had so many good chances and either I lost them or someone has, you know, done something extraordinary to beat me. So it did cross my mind. But lately, I've been getting some good help and I've been thinking a little bit different, a little bit more positive, and kind of accepting too that if it, for whatever reason, didn't happen, my life is still gonna go on. It's not gonna be a disaster. But it's happened.
While Sergio Garcia celebrates his first major golf championship, runner-up Justin Rose thinks he can still win a future Masters.
You know, it's going to sting for sure, but you know, I really feel like this is a tournament that I can still go on to win. I'd like to win 3 or 4 green jackets, but one would be enough. You know, I just want to win here. So I have plenty more looks, and I feel good about it happening. So. But it must have been fun to watch. You know, I felt pretty much in control of my game and the tournament for the most part all day. And Sergio did what he had to do to make a run. And I came back at him. And then last hole or two, it is what it is.
That's 2017 Masters runner-up Justin Rose speaking in Augusta, Georgia. Rose won the 2013 U.S. Open as well as last year's Olympic golf title in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. American Matt Kuchar finished in 4th place at the Masters tournament. Matt is leaving Augusta with one exciting memory, a hole-in-one at the par 3 16th hole.
Hit just a fantastic shot when it came off. I knew it was going to be good. I certainly didn't know hole in one good, but saw it trickle up the hill and then saw the fans get pretty excited and had hopes that they'd end with a huge roar. And sure enough, it was an amazing roar. It was awfully exciting.
American golfer Matt Kuchar commenting on his exciting hole-in-one shot at the Masters. Getting back to Masters champion Sergio Garcia, he's the third Spaniard to win the green jacket, following Jose Maria Olazabal and the late Seve Ballesteros, who died of brain cancer in 2011. Garcia says Olazabal and Ballesteros are his heroes. Garcia won the Masters championship on what would have been Ballesteros' 60th birthday. And speaking of those prized Masters green jackets, well, an authentic green jacket from Augusta National Golf Club that was once bought for $5 at a thrift store has sold at auction for more than $139,000. Green jacket auctions, says the distinctive sport coat worn by members of the famed Georgia Club and presented each year to the Masters champion, was sold Saturday, a day before the final round. The auction house says in its listing that the jacket was discovered in 1994 in a Toronto consignment shop. The tag shows it to be from the 1950s, but the original owner's name has been cut out. The club has confirmed its authenticity. Meanwhile, the auction house also sold the prize putter the late golf great Arnold Palmer used to win the 1964 Masters for more than $97,000. Turning to Davis Cup tennis, Belgium will host Australia and France will be at home against Serbia in semifinal action in mid-September at the men's team competition. Taking a look at scores from the weekend, Belgium defeated Italy 3-2. Australia ousted the United States 3-2. France beat Britain 4-1. And Serbia eliminated Spain 4-1. In all four of those results, the home team was victorious. Argentina won last year's Davis Cup trophy, scoring a 3-2 road victory over Croatia in the final. This year, though, Argentina and Croatia were both knocked out in the first round. Argentina lost at home to Italy 3-2, while Croatia was also beaten at home by Spain 3-2. The United States has won the Davis Cup title a record 32 times, and Australia is second with 28 championships. But the USA has not won the Davis Cup since 2007, and Australia not since 2003. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Now let's go to New York City, where top football officials from the USA, Mexico, and Canada are announcing a joint bid to host the 2026 World Cup on Monday evening. Attending the event at a Manhattan skyscraper are Sunil Gulati, the president of the U.S. Soccer Federation, Decio de Maria, the president of the Mexican Football Federation, and Victor Montagliani, the president of Canada's Soccer Association, as well as the president of CONCACAF, the governing body for football in North America, Central America, and the Caribbean. Now, only once before have multiple countries shared football's premier event. Japan and South Korea co-hosted the 2002 World Cup. World football's governing body, FIFA, will not announce the 2026 site, or in this case, sites, until May 2020. But this joint bid by the USA, Mexico, and Canada looks like it should have good support. Europe and Asia are prohibited from hosting the 2026 World Cup because they will have staged the previous two tournaments, Russia 2018 and Qatar 2022. Joining us now from Abuja, Nigeria, with a package of African football news is reporter Samson Omale. And Samson kicks off with the Confederation of African Football's new president.
We begin with the Confederation of African Football president Ahmed Ahmed's visit to Johannesburg to meet with the leaders from the COSAFA region at the weekend. The CAF president said after the executive meeting of COSAFA that he is counting on the support from the region to succeed in his change agenda.
I'm here to assure my colleagues that I'm COSAFA member. Even I'm president of CAF, but I'm COSAFA member first. And I trust on them to help me very closely for this challenge.
Part of the change the present leadership of CAF is considering is a possibility of holding the African Cup of Nations from every 2 years to once every 4 years.
For AFCON, I have already talked about it. You are going to wait what happened. Because the change too is in the CAF now. We open the door for the star. They have something to bring to improve our football.
Elsewhere, the Tunisian Football Federation has announced the sacking of Henry Kasbazak from his position as its national team coach. The 70-year-old who led Tunisia to the finals of the 1996 African Cup of Nations returned for a second spell in charge in 2015, but the series of defeats in two international friendlies in March against Morocco and Cameroon was not good enough for him to keep his job. And now to the CAF Confederations Cup. There were a total of 14 matches that were played in the first leg of the CAF Confederations Cup playoff round tie played on the continent during the weekend. Title holders TP Mazembe of the Democratic Republic of Congo continued the defense of the African Confederations Cup crown with a 2-0 win over Algerian side JS Kabylie. Platinum Stars lost 2-0 to Ivory Coast champions AS Tada. CF Mwanana defeated ASEC Mimosa 2-1. In Monrovia, Super Sports United played to a 1-1 draw against host Barak Young Controllers of Liberia. Enugu Rangers were held to a 2-2 draw by Zambian club Zesco United. On Saturday, Recreativo do Lobilo and CNAPS settled for a 1-1 scoreline, while Bidvest Wits and Samoa settled for a 0-0 draw. KCCA defeated Almasri 1-0, while Young Africans defeated MC Alger by the same goal margin. The second legs of the playoffs that pit the losers from the Champions League against winners from the earlier rounds of the Confederations Cup are on the weekend of the 14th to the 16th of April. Now to Kenya, where the Football Kenya Federation says it will do whatever it takes to have the Premier League matches back on television. This was after the pay TV channel with the rights to broadcast the KPL matches terminated its broadcast partnership with the KPL. FKF chairman Nick Wendua said he will meet KPL officials and KPL clubs representatives early next week. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
The Voice of America, VOA.
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. It will keep on the sunny side of life.
Voice of America, VOA, Washington.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the sunny side of sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
In African athletics, let's give a sunny side of sports salute to the Kenyan couple, Paul Lunyangata and Purity Rio Naripo, who won the men's and women's titles at the Paris Marathon on Sunday. I think it's safe to say athletic talent runs in Paul and Purity's family because they're married to each other. Paul won the men's title in 2 hours, 6 minutes, and 10 seconds, while Purity smashed her lifetime best by nearly 4 minutes, clocking 2 hours, 20 minutes, and 55 seconds. Afterwards, Purity described it as a great day. Her husband, Paul Lunyangata, also set a personal best in the French capital by more than a minute. Meanwhile, we'll hear now from Michael and Julie, a couple of British spectators who were in Paris for the marathon.
What, the Paris Marathon? Well, I've got friends and family who are running to raise money for Macmillan Cancer Research. But just being here, the whole atmosphere in the whole town is great the last sort of 24 hours we've been here for. So
it's beautiful because the buildings are so fantastic, and the trees, the greenery. We've just been completely impressed by it. And the time of the year is just amazing. The weather has just made it. I don't know whether the weather's very good for running, but for spectating, it's brilliant.
Many of the spectators at the Paris Marathon waved banners and flags and cheered on the runners. More than 50,000 runners tested their speed and endurance in the French capital. Just ahead on the Sunny Side of Sports, VOA social media reporter Andrew Palcheski will take a look at the latest sports social media trends. But first, I want our Voice of America engineer this evening, Dan Crafton, to kick it!
Kick it!
Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Andrew, nice job hosting the show last week.
Thank you very much. It's good to have you back, though. I have to say, a week in your shoes, I understand that. A week in your shoes, I don't understand how you're still so energetic after having to put the show together, because it's a lot of work.
Lots of coffee, Andrew. Well, what's trending out there in the sports world?
So a lot of big sports stories, and I know you love when we do a theme, and I figured we welcome you back with a theme. Now, there is a lot of different ways I could have gone with this, with all the big sports stories, momentous moments, big wins. So I just decided, out of all those, to go with finally.
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 So
okay.
We start, of course, finally for Sergio Garcia after 18 years on the tour, more than 70 majors without a win. He wins at the Masters yesterday. So a big finally moment for him as he hit that putt in sudden death and won it. The video of that winning putt has over 2 million views on the Masters Facebook page in just 15 hours. So a lot of people reliving that moment. And Garcia himself posting a photo on social media standing in the green jacket with his fiance. And he says, "What an awesome new jacket the members of Augusta National Golf Club gave me tonight, don't you think?" So he's having some fun with it. But a lot of other sports stars, golf stars, and stars from around sports tweeting and sending their congratulations through social media. Tiger Woods tweeting out saying, "Congrats, Sergio Garcia, well earned." And then his countryman, Rafael Nadal, who knows a thing or two about winning majors.
That's for sure.
I think he's won about 14. Nadal tweeted in Spanish, he said, "Sergio Garcia, very exciting. After so many years struggling so much, congratulations, what a joy." I think the most interesting message of congratulations, though, comes from Justin Rose, the runner-up who he faced off against in that sudden death hole. And Justin Rose tweeting out, "Congrats, Sergio Garcia. Incredible battle out there. Sport in the moment can be tough, but it's just sport. Hope you guys enjoyed it." So he's putting things in perspective there. Great sportsmanship from Justin Rose, saying that it is a game, and at the end of the day, we're all friends and we're all competitors, but we all wish the best for each other.
Good sportsmanship indeed. I loved how he hugged Garcia after his title, and I guess he whispered something in his ear, but you can tell they're good friends out there on the course.
Yeah, there's a lot of those friendships that you see that come through in social media especially. You don't see the players interacting very much when they're out there on the course, but when you see them in a sliver of their real lives through social media, you do see that they are really good friends, a lot of them.
Andrew, what else finally is trending out there?
Finally, after 55 years, Oscar Robertson's record of 41 triple-doubles in a season has been broken. We talked about this all last week on the show. Russell Westbrook secured his 42nd triple-double of the season last night against the Denver Nuggets. Not only makes history because of that, but as many fans noted, his first buzzer beater ever hits a three with, as the time is expiring, as time ends, makes it and secures not just that three, but the victory for Oklahoma City. So the NBA tweeting out, this is a little trivia question for you, Sonny, via the NBA Twitter, said this shot, A, won the game, B, eliminated Denver from the playoffs, C, gave Westbrook 50 points, or D, all of the above.
I might have to go with D, all of the above.
You are absolutely right. All of those achievements, in addition to those 42 triple-doubles, the 42nd triple-double, hits all those marks. So finally hitting that record and doing it in a big way. This one, I love this tweet too, is NBA writer Alex Kennedy says that Russell Westbrook has the same number of triple-doubles this season, 42, as Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Kobe Bryant had combined in their careers. So this gives you a sense of how momentous this is for him to get to this point finally. And many people saying, a lot of them Russell Westbrook fans, but even not people who aren't fans of Russell Westbrook begrudgingly admitting that he has secured his spot as MVP. They said that there's no contest at this point. He's done such a great job this year, so momentous, that he's going to win that award, they think.
And I don't know whether it was based on yesterday's game, Andrew, but like Oscar Robertson, Westbrook has also averaged now a triple-double for this season,
yeah,
based on his statistics.
Not just the fact that he got to that 42, but yeah, that he averaged the triple-double throughout the course of the season, and a lot of people using this hashtag history, but instead of the letter O, they're putting in a zero, of course, for his number. So hashtag history. I don't know how you'd, I guess you'd call it history anyway, and just write the zero in, but history for Russell Westbrook.
What else finally is out there trending, Andrew?
Well, finally on the show today. It's finally, but not in the sense of something that's been achieved after a long while. Finally, as in the end of an era, and it's the end of two eras in Detroit, Michigan. We talked on the show last week with Doug Bernard, our colleague, that after 38 years, the Detroit Red Wings held their last game last night at Joe Louis Arena, somewhere they've been very successful throughout the 1980s and 1990s. We talked about people throwing octopi on the ice. There were, the count I saw, 35 octopi thrown onto the ice throughout the course of the game last night as people marked that occasion and the end of that arena. And then tonight, you have another end of an era. It's the last game at the Palace of Auburn Hills for the Detroit Pistons of the NBA. They've been there for 29 years. Both teams are going to be moving to the new Little Caesars Arena next season, but the Palace of Auburn Hills, another place where Detroit has had a lot of success with basketball, and it's the end of an era for a lot of fans. You know, Doug and I were talking before the show. As much as people are fans of the sports teams, it's the venues themselves that have such an iconic, special place in people's hearts. And these two arenas in particular for Detroit fans and for fans of hockey generally and basketball generally, these were two very well-known arenas and very historic places to play. So the end of an era, a lot of people very sad, but they're happy the two teams will be closer to downtown Detroit now.
And I might have to point out, I think my Washington Wizards will help close out that arena later tonight.
Indeed they will. And then the Pistons move down the road. Auburn Hills is about 55 kilometers outside of downtown Detroit, so they're going to be in downtown Detroit for next season. A lot of fans are excited about that. So even though it's a change, they think it's a good change.
Thank you, Andrew. Andrew Palcheski, the VOA's social media reporter, and we'll welcome you back on Tuesday, Andrew.
Sounds good. See you then.
And that wraps up the April 10th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Dan Crafton kicking it behind the boards this evening. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
By a unanimous vote on March 31st, the UN Security Council adopted a resolution extending the mandate of MONUSCO, the UN peacekeeping mission in the Democratic Republic of the Congo, for another year. The Security Council also lowered the cap on the number of UN troops deployed in the DRC from 19,815 to 16,215. In addition, the resolution allowed for the replacement of some troops with more highly trained, specialized units and included specific performance indicators for troop-contributing countries to be reported on by the Secretary General. The resource-rich DRC has suffered from rampant corruption and violent fighting between dozens of armed factions, resulting in the deaths of an estimated 5.4 million people since 1998. In addition, there have been 107 fatalities of peacekeepers in the DRC since 2010, including 9 in 2016 alone. In March, two members of the DRC group of experts, one from the United States and one from Sweden, along with their Congolese interpreter, were found dead in Kasai Central Province, serving as a reminder of the continued threats facing UN personnel in the DRC. U.S. Permanent Representative to the UN, Ambassador Nikki Haley, applauded the Security Council's renewal of the MONUSCO mandate and for its action to make the mission stronger and more effective. When we look at these peacekeeping missions, what we need to focus on is not the number of people we have on the ground, it's the quality of the work that's happening on the ground, she said. We can have thousands and thousands of troops, but if they're not really working to keep the Congolese safe, none of that matters. Ambassador Haley said she was pleased that the Security Council, along with the troop ceiling, made sure that where the troops are, they are actually going to be more effective. The key, she added, is to make sure that the elections are safe, to make sure we're keeping people safe. The most important priority must be the protection of civilians, Ambassador Haley emphasized. Of great assistance in that, she said, is holding troops accountable for their actions. She welcomed the Security Council's request for a strategic review by September 30th. What we can't do is walk away and say our job is done, Ambassador Haley said. What we need to do is keep looking and making sure that what we did is actually working and effective and meeting our goals.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, Africa. I'm James Butte, host of VOA's Daybreak Africa. When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you the news as it happens. Listen to Daybreak Africa Monday through Friday at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC. And our 5 minute newscast come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
Hello, I'm Linor Moudou. Please join me live every Tuesday at 17:30 UTC in VOA's health program, Health Chat. Hear from doctors, nurses, international experts discussing the health issues of your concern. Health Chat puts listeners directly in touch with medical professionals. You can talk to them live for free or email your questions. Health Chat brings the medical professionals to your home.
Hello, I am your host Shaka Sali. Every Wednesday night, the Voice of America's Straight Talk Africa puts you in touch with newsmakers and experts.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, we'll discuss the Anglophone crisis in Cameroon. The nation's English-speaking minority regions say they are being politically and economically marginalized by the Francophone government. Cameroon politics, an in-depth discussion on the next Straight Talk Africa at 18:30. UTC.
Escape from the humdrum and dance to the beat of an African drum. Hi, I am David Van, host of the Voice of America's African Beat. Splendid sounds from the continent that all humanity calls home. Join me Monday through Friday at 0900 and 2000 UTC for a soothing musical journey. I guarantee it.